Welcome, my friends, to the podcast that never ends, where we gather our clan and talk about peace and love in our lives, the difficulties along the journey, and how we rise up. We will experience a little thing I call Kluberty together, find our sweet spot, and planting our seeds to watch them grow in our magic garden. I'm Uncle Dave, and our transformation starts right here. Hey now, and how are you doing? Want to welcome you to the first episode of 2024. I can't wait to bring back one of our guests, Mark Mawinney. I really can't wait to talk to him because he's going to bring us into his jungle talking about coaches, but we're also going to talk about the best thing in the world to start off your January, goals and objectives, and so many other great pieces. Hey, Mark, how are you doing today?
Hey, David. Happy New Year.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So really what I wanted to bring you on, we've been talking a lot actually over the past couple of months, but I love every morning seeing your messages. And for those who don't follow Mark, please do follow him. You'll get, it's not only for coaches and entrepreneurs, it's really some life advice if you really look at it. And like this morning, but we'll talk about goals and objectives. So what do you got going on? What's some of your goals and objectives this year, Mark?
So in March, I'm going to be celebrating 10 years in the online coaching space, and time flies. It feels like 5 years. So one of the things I've been doing for the last part of 2023 coming into 2024 is looking at ways to keep things fresh. Because after 10 years, you're doing some of the same things for years. There's that potential to get a little stale. So it doesn't mean throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm looking at some different tweaks and changes that I can make just to stay fresh. You always want to be evolving and doing different things. So yeah, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm happy with my business stuff, but I'm looking to add a few things, tweak a few things as well. And I think that's what businesses always should be doing.
Well, that's one of the things that I talk about as I'm transitioning out of corporate America. I had this opportunity to be a consultant, and I'm like, either your company is flatlined, which you don't want to do. You don't want to always make what you made last year. You need growth. You could be doing it differently. You got to reinvent yourself, but doing the same thing. I think that's some of what you're talking about, and always given great. I was just on a masterclass yesterday, and Mark just breaks it down so simply. And then you're like, yeah, how do we not do this? This is just, it's not easy to do, and anything is rewarding is going to be easy to do. How did you do that at the beginning? Like, why'd you start coaching?
So to make a really long story short, is I spent about 10 years in real estate right out of university, and I built up a big real estate company here in Canada, and I had my own company, a couple offices, at about 100 agents and employees, and then everything came crashing down. And that was tough because I experienced a decade of nonstop growth. It was like hockey stick growth every year. And then all of a sudden, bang, I went through a couple of years of rough times, and I'm thinking, what the heck's going on here? Because before, everything I touched turned to gold. Now everything I'm touching turns to crap. And that's how I was exposed to coaches. I really didn't know much about coaching before that. And I thought more in terms of athletics when I heard coach, right? Sports. And so I ended up getting help from several coaches to get back on my feet. And when I was ready to get back into business in 2014, I thought, what a great thing to be doing, coaching, because I just got a front row seat to this. And this seems like a lot of fun, and jumped in. And yeah, here we are about 10 years later.
Yeah, that journey has probably been incredible. And all of us who have been on a journey, any sort of journey. And how did you set goals and objectives? Because as January, we always take that, the resolutions. But the resolutions, generally, it's like anything else. In 21 days, if you're by the end of January, most people have already given up their resolutions. How'd you stick to things?
So while I think it's good to set goals, obviously you want to have targets to reach and that you need to know how you're doing if you have to make any changes, I really focus probably more on the activities. And we talked about this in the workshop that you saw, that I'm really big on, okay, I'm going to consistently do X, Y, and Z, and I'm not going to worry too much about the results, because some people do stuff for a week or two, then they don't get clients from it. And they're like, oh, this isn't working, so I'm going to switch to something else. And they're switching too soon. But you have to plant the seeds, you have to water them, be patient, and let the seeds sprout. So that's what, with the things I do, whether it be daily emails to my list, podcasting, community building, everything else, like getting my content out there, say, this is what I'm going to do every day. And then I'm like a machine, and I just do it, rain or shine. Sickness or in health, I had a bad flu in December. I jinxed myself because I said to someone, yeah, I haven't been sick in years. And then a couple days later, I'm on the couch. I can't move. I'm like, oh, geez, what happened? I got hit by a truck. But I was still able to keep the ball rolling just because it's hardwired to do certain things consistently. So I'm not trying to say don't set goals. It's really important. But I think it's better to pick a few things that you're going to do consistently to hit those goals and then focus on just checking them off every day. Jerry Seinfeld talked about that when asked how he became a better joke writer with the whole calendar, putting the red X every day, he wrote a joke, one joke, and then he didn't want to break that string of X's. And I'm very much the same way with my business.
Yeah, no, I think that's what it is. It's that consistency. It's not just setting a goal, because that's how you do it, because most of our goals are big. And when you have a big goal, it sometimes becomes too big. So how do you, when you look at a goal, I know you do, you're really talking about consistency, but when you do, you still have a goal in mind. It's not just putting out a message.
No, exactly. If you're doing something for a long time and consistently, you should be getting an ROI for it. So I'm not one that says, okay, just keep doing something indefinitely if you're not seeing the results. And I mentioned this in the workshop that you were on as well, is I'm not afraid to slay sacred cows. If something's not working, or if I'm not feeling it, not having fun, I have no problem stopping doing it. Whereas some people might be like, oh, gee, I did a couple hundred of Alexa Flash briefings I did before, a whole year of those ones, and I did 300 and some. I said, it's not fit my goals. I'm not enjoying it. I just bang, okay, stop doing it. So you can't get so married to something that you stick with it indefinitely. I just mean you got to spend more than a week or two doing something to see results in all likelihood.
Yeah, for sure. It's always good to check back, no matter where you are on your journey, to check back and then move forward and recalibrate, using my R words. It's just as important. And as coaches, we also then sometimes try to mimic. And I love the email today about the story you had sent out about Stan Lee, where at one point, and I'll love you to share that, but it's really just about make yourself happy, and then you're going to find your people.
Yeah, anyone listening won't see this, but if you see the video, there's little Stan Lee's on my desk doing the Spider-Man pose. Yeah, the email that I sent to my list this morning was prompted by a documentary I watched on Disney Plus around Stan Lee. So I'm a huge comic book fan, and Stan Lee is really inspirational because he was a content creation machine. I mean, if you look at what he did in the early 60s, especially coming up with all these great characters, and he was just churning out all these great stories, and he had help from the artists too. There's some controversy there who created each of them or co-created, but in that documentary, what Stan Lee had mentioned was for a long time, they used to be called Timely Comics, but Marvel was chasing trends. So if Westerns were the hot comics of the day, they would put Westerns out because they're selling. Oh, then Westerns aren't selling. It's more romance. We'll put romance out. And then it's more all these different things. And there wasn't any real strategy, and he wasn't having fun with it. He is getting ready to quit and do something else. And his wife had said to him before, she said, why don't you just, if you're going to quit anyways, just create the book you want to create. You've got nothing to lose, right? Because you're going to quit. He thought, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense. So that's where he created the Fantastic Four, which was unlike anything that had been done at that time. And then created Spider-Man, Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, all these great characters. So what the documentary he was saying in it was that he was writing for the stories he would like to have read as a kid, because he was big on reading and stuff like that. And so he just said, it sounds bad to say forget about the people, the consumer, but that's what he said. He wasn't going to worry too much about that. He's just going to create the comics he liked and that they were having fun doing. And then they sold like hotcakes. Same thing goes in the coaching world. If you're anyone doing content online, a lot of times you think, oh, what do I have to create that people are going to like? What are they going to get engagement going? And how can I get viral or whatever? But if you were just being yourself and putting out what would help you when you needed help, then you'd probably be a lot more successful with it. So in a nutshell, that's what the whole Stan Lee lesson from today was in my email.
Yeah, no, and I think that's great. And I'm going to make a little plug for myself, is in by January, probably, hopefully around the time that this episode comes out, I'm going to have my own comic book. I've been talking about it for the year. I've been drafting it, and I didn't know how hard that process was, and which has been a real lesson, is we think it's easy to do something, and then you start learning the minutiae details, but that add to something that really becomes more powerful. For everybody listening, I would love for you to reach out, and we'll have the links and everything for the Pathfinder once it is out. So to go back to,
I know. I'll get a signed copy so I can
of
sell it
course.
on eBay in 20 years.
Yep, in 5 years. What? I don't know that you'd hold it in for 20 years and have value for it, but I'm sure the next 5 years.
Yeah, here's one that I have. This is a comic,
Wow.
the first appearance of Superman, Action Comics. Obviously, this isn't the actual, it's a reprint. Talking about goals, my goal is to have the actual Action Comics number one at some point. That'll take a few million dollars for that, but there's dreams, goals and
Right.
dreams.
And I'm sure every time you're looking at your bank account, you're like, okay, not yet. And that's which I just want to remind everybody, yet is a really powerful word rather than saying I can't or don't. If you haven't done something yet, doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means you haven't done it yet or found the right resources. Now, where do you find your resources? Because I know you've spoken that every coach needs a coach or a set of people to support you and to talk to you. So what do you do to make sure that you have your goals, be it a comic book or business? And how do you keep yourself accountable? Is it just self, or you have a set of people that you bring into your stable?
Yeah, at any time, I have at least one coach I'm working with. Sometimes there's a few on different things. Actually, after this interview, I have a call with my coach that we're going to be going over some stuff. So I never want to get to the point that I know everything, so I don't need any help. I get this figured out. You can be the most motivated person in the world. It's very tough to see the forest for the trees, right? And it helps to have someone that's got the benefit of being a little further away. You're a little too close to the situation where it's you, and having someone that can point out some things, make you think differently, ask you the right questions, and so on. So I'm lucky that I've met a ton of coaches through my podcast and through doing this for 10 years that I have a mental Rolodex. If I need help in something, I usually have someone in mind, or I can find them pretty quick just from meeting so many coaches over the years.
How do you weed out? Obviously, you're in the jungle, right? You're king of the jungle. But how do you weed out those coaches who say that they know what they're doing versus what they do? Because I've made some poor mistakes, and I think we all have as we're learning through the process how to weed through our own stuff. But there's also a lot of coaches who feel that they need to teach you versus not meet you where you're at. How would you suggest somebody looking for somebody and weeding through those type of situations?
Yeah, you'll never get it 100%. So I would say probably once a year, I make an investment, coach, a program, whatever, that doesn't work out the way I was hoping. And I just view it as the cost of doing business. I spent a fair bit of money on one 2 years ago that there was a lot of stuff in there. So it's not like it was buying air. There was almost too much stuff. The guy tried to cramp everything but the kitchen sink in. And I feel like the program wasn't really as advertised. Now, that being said, even on those ones, I get benefits from it if it doesn't work out, because then it shows me how I don't want to create my stuff. I can say, you know what, in this program, I found that there was a lot of fluff and filler, or the guy was doing 4-hour live calls every week that should have been 30 minutes long, just bloviating for hours and hours, or try to cram too much stuff in there and that was overwhelming. So I always learn, even if an investment doesn't work out in a program, I try to spin it around as a positive, as opposed to a lot of people you see online nowadays. It's frustrating with coaches and entrepreneurs. They post every gripe. You get people in the comments waiting for them to spill the tea. They get the Michael Jackson popcorn gif, and they're complaining about this coach or this online marketer, stuff like that. It doesn't do any good to do that. It might make them feel a bit better for a while, but it's not bringing them closer to their goals. To answer your question, yeah, it's not terribly scientific, but gut goes a long way. Like when you've been in it a long time and you've made some right moves and some wrong moves and purchases, you get a little bit of a spidey sense, to use a comic analogy, if somebody's full of it. But also it's seeing who they worked with. Often I'll see testimonials from people I know that are in there, and then I speak with them. That definitely helps. And you'll never get 100%, but you can get much closer to 100% if you use your gut, and then you use some talk to some people who've worked with the person and get some intel that way as well.
Yeah, and I think that's also a great reminder for everybody that there is no perfection, right? Perfection is really an illusion, and you're going to make mistakes. Even the best players, right? You go to sports, not everybody's hitting 1,000 in baseball. Nobody's hitting every free shot, no matter how good you are, and accept that, but then use that as a challenge to understand and take away the messages that really, the lessons that come in. That's the challenge with life. You get the test first, and sometimes the lessons come afterwards, but it's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, exactly. You just keep going. What does it say? Journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. I try to not look too far down the road because then it can get intimidating. But podcasts, Natural Born Coaches, you've been a guest on the show, so thank you. We're up to roughly 850 episodes right now. If you told me when we launched in 2014 that we'd be getting close to 1,000 episodes, would have freaked me out. Oh my God, that's so much work or whatever. And I just looked at, okay, going to release one episode, then the next one, and then the next one. And there's that whole compound effect thing that happens. And same thing, whether it be emails, YouTube videos, whatever, you just get started. Just don't get freaked out. Keep doing it consistently. Put out the best quality product, and bang, pretty soon you've built up, a, just like you with this podcast, a good size library of good quality stuff.
Yep. No. Thank you. And always thank you for allowing me to be on the guest. I mean, it's a great podcast. I am really glad that you're enjoying the show, and I hope you follow us on all the podcast hosting sites, as well as Facebook, Peace, Love, and Bring a Bat. Or you can follow me, Uncle Dave, David Chemetsky, at Facebook, Instagram, Clubhouse, and www.davidchemetsky.com. I also would enjoy for you to contact me if you want to just have some feedback. You need somebody to talk to at peacelovebringabat@gmail.com. Love to hear your feedback. Thanks. Podcast. So those who might not know it, we'll have the link again, as Mark has been a guest previously for Natural Born Coaches, as well as join the free on Facebook, the Coaching Jungle. And again, you don't have to be a coach. That's the great thing, is there's a lot of real information, some funny, some just great memes that'll make you smile, but it's also lots of learning just in life. And then you might be able to find a coach if you're looking for one, but it's great information as well.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, the Coaching Jungle, it's at thecoachingjungle.com, and you don't have to be a coach to join. There's certain people we don't let in. If someone's got no profile picture, brand new Facebook account, a day old, and they're members of 3,000 groups, probably not going to accept them in. But if it's Joe Smith, Mary Jones, doesn't say anything about coaching on the profile, they could be thinking about coaching or looking to hire a coach. We're pretty open that way. They're aspiring coaches, interesting coaches, and we want to have them in there.
Yeah, and it's always good to have boundaries anyway. And again, it's a really great community. How do you set goals? So you have the goals and the consistency we talked about, but you still also have to keep on that path. How do you keep yourself on that path? It's not only just putting out the emails every day. You have a larger idea of where you're going.
You're right, because as an entrepreneur, it's Darren Hardy. We mentioned the compound effect. He wrote another book called The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster, which was a great book. And anyone who's in business, you're never going to be riding high, perfect mood every day. I always laugh because the life of an entrepreneur, you can wake up in a great mood. An hour later, you get an email that sets you off in a sour mood. Noon, you get some good news. Okay, back on cloud nine. Supper time, you get a fall through or something, so you're back in the dumps. Then you get good news before you go to bed, and then something's gonna happen overnight. So it's like, whoosh, you know, up, down. And I think I'm helped because I've been in business since I was 21 years old. I've worked for myself, so I'm used to those ups and downs. I don't get too riled up now just because I've been through so many of them. Whereas someone who just getting started out, they get hit with a curveball that can throw them off for quite a while. But you have to have an attitude of detachment. And we talked about this in the workshop yesterday, not just with sales detachment that you don't need the sale, but also a detachment for any outcome when it comes to business. If you miss a goal, it's not the end of the world. You dust yourself up, get back up, and bang, you keep going forward or pivot as needed with it. Yeah, it's a real mind game. I don't know if I'll say it's a mind F, in case it's a mind, you can fill in the blank, F-U-C-K.
Yeah. No, and I think that's really part of the things is knowing that if we don't meet every goal, give ourselves permission to learn from. And again, some of our expectations would be unrealistic, right? We want to do it all tomorrow. Somebody my age is already doing XYZ, or half my age is doing XYZ. And that's okay. That's their journey. And that's the powerful part as well.
Like you mentioned about comparison, that's very dangerous, especially social media. So if you're in a down mood, a rotten mood because of something, you're like, oh, go scroll Facebook, Instagram, or whatever. Then suddenly you're being bombarded by all these people where it looks like their life's perfect. The filtered pictures, they're making $1 million a month, climbing a mountain a day, they get the perfect marriage. It's, oh, geez, that's not going to make you feel better. We could do a whole show on that. One of the things I'm focusing on in 2024, it's been a constant struggle for me over the years, but I'm getting better, is to work on social media time and not get sucked into it. Because I think social media addiction is going to be a really big issue going forward. And I would much rather spend my time reading a good book than the screen time just scrolling down a news feed. So I've been getting much better, but I still have some work to do. But versus a few years ago, my screen time's down considerably, and I'd like to get it reduced even further, because I see some people, coaches, that I swear they must be online 18 hours a day. They're just nonstop online. And I don't think that's good for your mental health, not good for your content creation either, because you run the risk of sounding like other people if that's all you're consuming is their posts. You're on 1,000 email lists and everything else. It's why Kurt Cobain once said that he was careful listening to other people's music, because he didn't want to subconsciously mimic it. He wanted to have his own sound. And ironically, everyone copied him with the grunge movement afterwards with Nirvana. But yeah, he didn't listen to too much other music or music from other people.
I think there's a little theme we're building today is really just be authentic and do your own way, go your own way. Between Stan Lee and just now this reference to Kurt Cobain. And I think that's really what it is. You could read all the books. You need the knowledge, but you got to put your own flavor. That's part of life, is seeing it through our own lens, not saying, oh, Dave says this or Mark says that, and I have to do that. That's why as a coach, I always go, I don't like using coach. I like using the mentor. I'd rather just give you the information and how you want to apply it. There's no right or wrong. It is what it is. And for a coach, I do go back to that sports mentality, sending in a play. You have to do it this way. And those type of coaches, I don't like working with. I like somebody who talks it out and is able to see from different perspectives. I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just finished reading a couple books by Phil Jackson of the Chicago Bulls, the Lakers.
He didn't win with the Knicks.
Was he a GM or something when he came back, or some sort of office?
Yeah, he coached a little bit, but it didn't last long. It was definitely a pass through.
Yeah.
But he had played with the Knicks. I think that's one of the reasons why he wanted to try to curse, but a lot stronger.
His book, 11 Rings, stops before he came back to the Knicks with a management position or whatever. And what I thought was interesting was, he had certain plays he wanted them to learn, like triangle offense and things like that, but he wasn't micromanaging them like some managers or coaches do in basketball and other sports. But what he did was he gave them a little bit of room to breathe. And he talked about even Dennis Rodman, when he came over from the Pistons or wherever to the Bulls, he was a problem child. He used to act up because he just liked getting attention. He would flaunt team rules, like you had to have your sneakers, your shoes tied. He would leave them untied, and he would break curfew, and he'd show up late to practice. And it was when Phil Jackson started ignoring those little outbursts and things like that, that Dennis Rodman stopped doing them, because he wasn't getting the desired response. And then he started to behave or whatever. So interesting book. I mentioned that when we talk about reading books and stuff. It doesn't mean always personal development, like what you would think, business type ones. I like to mix it up and put some other ones into my reading list, because I often learn more. We talked about Stan Lee. I've read a bunch of books about Marvel and things like that, which you wouldn't think would be applicable to what we're doing, but actually it is with it. So yeah, mix up your books. I'm even doing some more fiction, which usually I'm not a big fiction reader, but lately that I've been mixing in some more of those too, just to keep it fresh.
All right. Yeah. And that's what I did this past year, where everybody's doing these business books and things like that. And I was actually getting down on my business, and I wrote this fiction book, Redemption, and it had nothing to do with business. Obviously, you can read whatever you want to read into the story, but there is some advice in it, but it's not, that wasn't what it was for. And I think you can, if you're really open to suggestions, you're open to reading a lot of different things, and it then really gets your perception differently by having that the fiction also rounds you out a little bit. Instead of just reading the same type of personal development, you can also start feeling like, yeah, but I do these things and it's not working. It's how you're applying, and you have to find the right books that fit for you.
Yeah, agreed.
So what do you do besides watching the Blue Jays and everything to take yourself out of, because you can't be coaching all the time, right? When we're doing one thing all the time, we need some resources. And what are some resources that you use to just help you step away from things?
I love going to the movies, and I hope that it looks like the trend is away from the theaters, because everyone loves the convenience of streaming and stuff. You can't beat the movie theaters. I know it's grossly overpriced for tickets and popcorn or whatever, but it's that whole, I think the reason I have a thing for movies and movie theaters is, for years when I was in real estate, that was the only time I could turn my phone off. It was an excuse to turn the phone off, and then I'd check it a couple hours later, and I'd have 50 messages I'd have to return. But for those few hours, I was in a away from the world, somewhere else, being transported to a different world or whatever, just for a bit. So I like going to movies. I love board games and things. I'm trying to get regular poker game going, because I don't know about in the States, but back around 2004, 2005, here in Canada, the NHL had a strike. And all of a sudden, every male between 15 and 80 was playing poker. Texas Hold'em got to be really big. So I was playing a couple times a week back when that winter, and then that continued. I haven't played poker much for years. I'm like, you know what? I'd like to get back into playing poker, because I love that strategy. There's the whole bluffing, reading tells, calculating odds. How aggressive do you play, or do you pull back or whatever? I think poker is awesome that way. So that's another love that I'd like to get back into.
That's awesome. Yeah. That was one of my goals this year, to start doing things like that, reinvent myself in the, what do I like doing? Get back into my photography for me. And I picked up, as my girls don't want to even try, playing backgammon. I remember that was the one game I enjoyed, and you can take it wherever you want. I have a couple of travel kits. So I'm like, I'm going to start to do that and see how that goes.
Yeah. I love Risk. I used to play a ton of Risk in high school. And then I got my son into it. He's 15, so he started to play a little bit more. So we've done some Risk games, or I've got my brother and his wife have come over. My son's played stuff like that. And I shouldn't laugh at it, but with my sister-in-law, my son would be attacking her, and he was just rolling sixes nonstop. You'd swear they were weighted dice. And she was convinced he had some sort of trick, or he's doing some sorcery or whatever with rolling the dice. And but anyway, so that's a whole other thing there. But Risk is a great game for strategy, again, trying to decide how aggressive to be, because if you're too aggressive, it's not going to be good when it goes around to other people's turns, are going to break through. But if you're too timid, you're not expanding, then you're also at a disadvantage. So there's probably some business lessons with Risk versus building coaching business, stuff like that, that you could, I'll have to write about that maybe in Secret Coach Club. I think there's definitely some spillover between Risk and business.
Yeah, sure. And it's about risking. I use that a lot. It's not just taking a risk, where a lot of coaches, a lot of people in their lives go, I'm just going to throw it all to the wind. And that can work for you. But if you risk well with the knowledge and the lessons learned, you'll be more successful.
Hmm. Exactly. Life's a risk. Even if you're not taking risks, you're taking a risk.
Right.
You're risking never achieving anything and then regretting stuff when you're on your deathbed. So you might as well try something.
Yep, 100%. I know we've taken a lot of your time, and is there any, and you've given us such great messages. I'd love to keep talking to you, but I know time is, we're all on a clock of some sort. And, you know, but is there any parting messages that you'd like to leave with us besides, and I want to make sure everybody knows, Mark has these master classes that are, some of them are free, that you definitely need to go to. And then there's also some paid courses as well that he gives out throughout the year, that if you're a coach, it's really helpful. And if you're not a coach, they're still helpful, because you'll pick out some things that you could probably apply in your life that would be equally as helpful.
Thank you.
But is there any final words you want to part with us?
Final words. I would just say, our new year is here for 2024. So you want to stay away from what you hinted at earlier, where people a couple weeks into January start to lose steam at the gyms. They suddenly, they're packed January 1st or whatever, and then by February 1st, they're not. So it is a marathon. So while it's important to do a lot for your business stuff like that, you also have to pace yourself because it's a marathon, not a sprint. With it, I've seen podcasting world's perfect example. You've seen it, David, where people launch a show with a ton of episodes and they go for a couple weeks and then they just burn out and then they're gone. They're pod fading or podgatory, they talk about. And I would much rather see a host say, okay, I'm going to launch it, do a weekly show. If they want to bump it up down the road, they can, but at least they're sticking to that as opposed to releasing a million episodes in a month and then bang, they're gone. It's a marathon, remember that.
Okay, well, that's excellent. Great advice. No matter what you're doing, life's a marathon. You don't go out 1,000 miles an hour. So I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you as well for giving me opportunities to be on your podcast. And I always appreciate all the knowledge you give. Again, I'll say it again. Please get onto his list because you'll learn some life lessons, not only about coaching, but it definitely will also enhance your coaching if that's something that you're interested in doing.
Yeah, the link to join the email list is at com. So you can go in, get a free issue of my Secret Coach Club newsletter when you go, and then you get the emails.
Yeah, and definitely join the Secret Coach newsletter because, again, though it's just more information, right? More information, how you apply it is really the most important part.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. Have a great year. And yeah, here's to 2024.
Okay, thanks so much. And for everybody else, welcome to 2024. And it's the end of our episode. And as always, I wish you peace and love. And when you're bringing your bat, hit your sweet spot and just do the best you can. Have a great day. Well, my friends, today's journey has come to a close. I hope the seeds of peace and love continue to grow for each one of you. Remember the peace and love surround you that will assist you to rise again. And don't forget to bring a bat for what you believe in. Namaste.